The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then full of grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "Shall what do we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that has been sown in the ground. It is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth its branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without the parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
What happened to our dear David, our King David, our beloved King David? Yesterday, I'll be having the 9:30 mass today for the students, for the school pupils. Yesterday, I went to the school to have a conversation, a discussion with the famous Chris Benford. And he says to me, "Are you sure you want to preach about the first reading?" I hadn't looked at the readings then. Thankfully, he gave me a heads up. He said, "Maybe you should stay with the gospel for the kids." Yeah, maybe. But, you know, we've been reading about the great achievement of David, King David. You would recall in First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 14, the prophet said to Saul, "I have a man close to my heart. God has chosen David, a man after my own heart." I remember on Monday, I tried to explain what it means to be a man after God's own heart. It means whatever is important to God is important to him. And you would recall how the journey of David went with conquering all the nations and taking the Ark of the Covenant, and how it was truncated when Uzzah died trying to protect the Ark of the Covenant, and it was about to stumble. Because he wasn't a priest and he touched the Ark of the Covenant, he died. And they had to make a detour to Obed-Edom. And until David got it right, they now moved to Jerusalem, the city of David, with the Ark of the Covenant. I spoke about the Ark of the Covenant, the significance. And when he got to Jerusalem and established the Ark of the Covenant, he discovered he was living in a mansion, but the Ark of the Covenant was in a cubicle, in a house of cedar. And he wanted to build a house, and the Lord said no. And he never took it to heart with resentment, the no that God said to him. And yesterday we read about how the promise, the Davidic promise, "I'm going to establish through your dynasty a lasting covenant, Emmanuel," the Davidic promise, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And that became the pattern that flowed from the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel. Emmanuel was the establishment of the covenant, the house that God built among men. And David went to the tabernacle, to the Ark of the Covenant, and prayed and thanked the Lord. He was grateful yesterday. And today, very despicable, something happened with David. Something you would not want to associate with anyone. He became adulterous and he became a murderer all of a sudden. What happened? If you check how it proceeded, he was idle. He was idle. And while he was supposed to be at war, waging wars and conquering more places, he was idle. You remember the saying, an idle man's brain is the devil's workshop. And he went and committed adultery. Not just that he committed adultery, he committed murder. Just by a mere glance, unchecked glance, unchecked desire led him to being adulterous and a murderer. It's easy to condemn David. It's easy to condemn David, but the truth here is, what should we learn from his life? Anyone can be David in this circumstance. When our desires are not checked, when there is no discipline, and when there is no prayers to accompany our discipline. Again, he abused his authority. He was not in control of his conscience. He abused his authority and murdered an innocent man. So, key lessons we learn: discipline, vigilance, and prayerfulness in life. He who thinks he's standing should be careful lest he falls, St. Paul tells us. And so the story of David invites us to always be vigilant, to always keep discipline, and to always pray that we may maintain the two, vigilance and discipline. And one beautiful thing that happened is that Psalm 51, prayer of repentance, that became the prayer of David after he realized what he did. He says, the antiphon of today's response to your psalm, be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I have sinned. He acknowledged it. And again, that was why he is a man after God's own heart. He was humble enough to repent, to say, I am sorry. In life, two important things. We already know to say thank you and to say, I am sorry. When we do this in humility, the gates of heaven will always be open to us. Amen.